Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do I have to go to church? I remember asking that question a few times while growing up. You know, the cartoons Underdog and Rocky and the Bullwinkle Show, does anybody remember those? They were on Sunday mornings and I wanted to see them. I don't think I asked the question too often since I pretty much knew the answer was always the same. Yes, you're going to church. But that doesn't mean that the question didn't come to mind at other times. It was good and right for my parents to take me to church each week, whether I wanted to go or not. Besides, when your dad's the pastor, it's kind of expected. But what about that question? Do you have to go to church? To fully address the attitude behind this question, we'll take a little time. But to get us started, let me offer this really simple answer. No, you don't have to go to church. I'm glad to see that you are all still here and you didn't get up and leave, because there's a whole lot more to that answer. To stop there would be dangerous. When our sinful natures hears that we don't have to go to church, that sinful nature does everything it can to help us out of church. I'm sure, like me, you have struggled against that nature and all the excuses it can come up with for skipping church, ranging from, I'm too tired, to, hey, there's an important family event going on, or the fish are biting today, I need to get out there, or whatever your favorite activity might be. Maybe by now you're asking, but doesn't the third commandment say we have to go to church? In the Old Testament lesson, you heard the third commandment as recorded in Deuteronomy. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy and as the Lord commanded you. On the surface, did it say anything about going to church? I didn't hear it. No, it didn't. Rather, it commanded Old Testament Israel to rest, not do any work on the Sabbath day, which, by the way, wasn't Sunday, but Saturday, the seventh day. In fact, the word Sabbath in Hebrew means to rest, to stop working. The people were to rest on the rest day, the seventh day. So what does that have to do with going to church? Well, let's dig a little deeper to answer that question. Listen to what the Lord wanted Old Testament Israel to think about as they rested on the rest day, the Sabbath. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. I know you've all seen pictures and movie scenes about Israel's slavery in Egypt. This might be a little dangerous, but I'm going to try it anyway. I want everyone to close their eyes. Now imagine yourself walking acre after acre through grain fields that have already been harvested. You're picking up the stubbles of straw, and you're putting it into a bundle. You carry the bundles back home, or if you're really lucky, you have a small wagon to put the bundles on. Once back home, the straw is mixed with clay under the hot Egyptian sun. Your muscles ache from digging and kneading the clay and carrying the bricks. Your own people are driving you hard because if you fail to meet the quota, they are beaten by the Egyptian slave drivers. Then your life suddenly changes. The Lord God stretches out his arm and turns water into blood. He brings plagues of frogs, gnats, flies, disease, locust, hail, and darkness against your enslavers. His mighty hand strikes down the firstborn of all the Egyptians, from the son of Pharaoh to the prisoners in the dungeon to the livestock in the stall. You're suddenly free to go. You quickly start walking, excited to be free, but half afraid that Pharaoh will change his mind. And when Pharaoh does change his mind, he tries to pin you between his army and the Red Sea. And look what God does. The Lord again stretches out his arm, and his mighty hand pushes back the waters of the Red Sea. You cross on dry ground. You look behind you, and you see Pharaoh's army being destroyed as your God brings the waters down on them, the horse and its rider being thrown about in the sea. In awe, you suddenly realize that the Lord your God has rescued you from slavery and given you rest. You can open your eyes now. If the person next to you doesn't open their eyes, just nudge them a little bit. We too were slaves. We were born as slaves to sin. Sin drove us hard to search for the stubble of hope that we thought would make us happy. Sin worked us hard in Satan's ways, leaving our souls sore and aching. Sin made us sweat under the heat of our guilt. And sin fooled us into thinking that as long as we did what our natural self wanted, we were free. What a lie. The Lord God stretched his arm out to rescue us. He stretched out his arms over the beam of the cross. He opened his mighty hand for the nails to pierce him. It was not the Egyptian firstborn, but the only begotten Son of the Father who died for you. He willingly died to rescue you and me. His cross shades us from our guilt that beats down on us. For on the cross, he covered his innocent self with our guilt and endured the heat of God's anger that we justly deserve. His blood soothes our aching souls that long for forgiveness. For his holy blood paid the full price of all our sins. And his death gives hope because after he died, he rose from the dead. This hope is not a stubble of straw that fails. This hope is more solid than a mountain. Just as surely as Jesus our Savior lives, so surely we who believe in him will live in joy with him. He has parted the waters and brought us over from death to life, from darkness to light, and slavery to freedom. He has rescued you and gives you rest for your soul. Rest in the peace of forgiveness purchased for you by his cross and guaranteed to you by his resurrection. He invites you, saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls." The rest that comes from being rescued from sin's slavery. Viewed from the cross of Jesus and his empty tomb, our original question doesn't make a lot of sense. Does it? Do I have to go to church? Or rephrasing it, do I have to go and hear about how Jesus gave himself to rescue me and listen to his gracious invitation to give me rest? Or can I go back and just be a slave and live in that pain that leads to hell? Rather a foolish question. It's like a fish that you catch and release back into the water, turning around and asking you, "Do I have to swim away? Can't I be your supper tonight?" When we believe in Jesus, we want to regularly remember our rest giver who rescued us from our slavery to sin. But what about the third commandment? It pictures the spiritual rest that Jesus gives by forgiving us. Jesus, the rest giver, is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Apostle Paul teaches us that Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath so that we are no longer bound by its outward regulations. Led by the Holy Spirit, he writes, "Do not let anyone judge you by a Sabbath day. These are the shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Just as after a person comes around the corner, when they're first heading there, you see their shadow. But once they come around the corner, we no longer watch the shadow, but we look at the person. So also now that Jesus has come, we no longer have to set aside Saturday or any other day of the week to rest. Rather, we look at Jesus. We focus on Jesus, the rest giver foreshadowed by the Sabbath. Should we cross out the third commandment then? No, not at all. The Lord still has something to teach us in the third commandment. What is that? Well, let's dig just a little deeper. The text says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. By keeping it holy. Let's think about that. To keep something holy means to set it apart for God, to sanctify it. The word sanctify comes from the Latin sanctus, and sanctus means holy. So therefore, sanctify means to make or keep holy. Does resting from work sanctify a day or make it holy? No. Does going to a certain building that we call a church sanctify a day or make it holy? Not necessarily. And how can sinners like you and I keep any day holy unless we ourselves are first of all sanctified? Jesus explains what sanctifies us or sets us apart as holy. In a prayer to his heavenly Father for his disciples, Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Do you see what makes all the difference? God's word. God's word sanctifies. God's word keeps us holy. How? God's word keeps us focused on Jesus, the reality, not the shadows. Jesus' holy life covers our sins through faith in his word. Because of Jesus, God counts us believers as holy in his sight. He calls us his saints, his holy ones. Through this good news, the rest giver refreshes us, just like a good night's sleep refreshes us for another day. God's word refreshes us to live each day set apart for God in the joy of forgiveness. The rest giver refreshes us with his sanctifying word. With our eyes focused on Jesus and our lives sanctified by his word, we can keep every day holy to the Lord. Luther clearly shows us that the third commandment directs us to God's word. He explains it this way. We should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and his word, but regard it as holy and gladly hear and learn it. I'm sure all of you remember that from your catechism classes. So what about our original question? Do I have to go to church? The answer is tied to God's word. Going to church will do you no good if God's word is not taught in that church. Going to church will do you no good if you do not let God's word focus your eyes on Jesus. And even going to church will do you no good if you do not listen to God's word and take it to heart. But when we consider how God's word sanctifies and refreshes us, how could we not want to gather with our fellow believers around the pure word? As long as we are physically able to. Where else do you gather to be fed the good news of our rest giver through the hymns and liturgy written and used by Christians throughout the ages? Where else do we come together to hear God's word publicly proclaimed from Scripture with a speaker who wants to keep our focus on what Jesus has done to give our souls rest? Where else do we regularly feast on the rest giver's body and blood to assure us of God's forgiveness. Why would we want to skip a week? Regularly remember the rest giver. And yet, just don't limit yourself to one day a week. We might gather publicly around God's word only once or twice a week, but privately go to his word every day. God wants every day to be a Sabbath for you, a day that he brings you rest for your soul as he refreshes you with his sanctifying word. Throughout the week, think about what you hear in worship. Read his word daily. Believe his promises continually. And live according to his will always. Regularly remember the rest giver. Do I have to go to church? A simple yes or no is no way to answer that question. Our old sinful nature, which we inherited from our parents, will never want to go to church to hear God's word. We must force it and tell it, "I am going to church." Our new self, created by God in you through baptism, does not ask, "Do I have to?" Our new self loves to regularly remember our rest giver as often as possible. Our new self rejoices that he has rescued us from sin slavery. Our new self finds his sanctified word refreshing. Our new self says with King David, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" Amen.